Welcome back to Turning Hard Time into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. He's here today to talk about Lion One Metals, their project, the Tuvutu project, the gold project in Fiji. Before I say hello to Dr. Quentin Henning, let me just mention Lion One trades in Canada under the symbol LIO. It trades in the United States under the symbol LOMLF. 156.2 million shares outstanding at about a dollar in U.S. money per share. Dr. Henning, as I said, Dr. Quentin Henning is also, he is an advisor to Lion One Metals. You know him from a number of other companies that he is either directly involved with or has been an advisor to. So we're really glad to have him with us again. Thanks for joining us again, Quentin.
Thank you, Jay.
It's always good to have you with us, and I especially when we see news like that news that just came out on the 26th of July. I mean, it was a mind-boggling 437 grams over just a half a meter, but 437 grams of gold is just insane. So I want you to comment on that. But before we get to the latest drill results and what they might mean, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the economics of the deposit that they already have outlined. And this is a number of years ago. They actually did economics, a very robust economics, but albeit somewhat of a small, less than a million ounces, which is considered kind of small these days for given the economic requirements of putting a mine in production and so forth. But nonetheless, on an operating basis, very robust. So along comes this notion, which I think you were at least partly responsible for, that this may be something much bigger, an alkaline deposit. And as you've explained before, these things can be absolutely enormous, and they are company-making deposits and projects. So what I'd like you to do is just maybe talk just briefly about the economic aspects of what they know they have, their current resource, which I think is less than 800,000 ounces, but probably 8 to 10 grams per ton, something like that, in that range. Talk about that, first of all. How does that look on a standalone basis, for example?
Yeah, look, the company actually published a PEA, an updated PEA. I believe it was September of last year. It kind of went through and not too many people noticed, but it was an important PEA because it demonstrated this thing has very robust economics. The grades are quite high. You know, look, it's a fairly narrow, I'm going to call it vein, but it's not really vein. We call them lodes because they're really a set of little fractures that collectively constitute a structure that can be, can likely be mined. All right, but this thing should generate a very high margin, perhaps on the order of $1,000 an ounce at the current gold prices. Okay, so this is a robust project. The company is currently laying plans. They've talked several times now publicly about this. They're laying plans for building a sort of mine, a sort of processing facility. Something, modest, the size hasn't been determined just yet, but I would say within the next couple of months, the company will be able to talk about those plans in more detail. I know that there's a lot of work going on in the background around those, and they have hired some new folks here recently. Patrick Hickey, for example, a good friend of mine who I've known for many years, worked for Newmont, built the Batu Hijau mine in Indonesia. He also worked for Sumitomo and built the Mbatami mine over in Madagascar, worked for Kinross and other. He's got a long track record. Patrick knows how to build mines. And funny enough, he knows how to operate in islands too, which is kind of a unique skill. But he will do a fantastic job advancing this project. The other gentleman we brought on, Sergio Catalani, an exploration geologist who's very well experienced in advanced stage projects, taking things like Tuvutu through detailed infill drilling and making them into mines. His last big push was the Castle Mountain deposit in California. Of course, I think it might be in production now.
I think so, yeah.
But he drilled that out. So, he's got that kind of credentials. He worked for Cisco and other big companies and has a long track record. So, it's a delight to see this all starting to come together in terms of the production side. I'm still focused on the exploration side. And, what we're doing, I think, is really changing the center of gravity of this project. It was viewed as a small system, like you said, a little under 800,000 ounces, high grade, which is great. But small. Okay, we've kind of taken the blinders off, started drilling some deep holes underneath Tivatu. Guess what? We're finding very high grade structures down there. So it's starting to take on a new shape.
Yeah, high grade is an understatement when you come up with 437 grams over even a half a meter. And you've also, on the July 26th news release, you also had, it wasn't just that spectacular high grade, you had a number of other intercepts that were also very strong grades. Talk to us a little bit about that, and how does that fit in with previous drilling that you've done since you viewed this as an alkaline target? How is it taking shape? Your concept of an alkaline deposit, and now it seems to me, from all I've been following the story, is it's sort of proof of concept that seems to be there in terms of an alkaline deposit. But talk to us about the significance of this last report, and how that fits into the bigger scheme of things.
Okay, let me talk a little bit about alkaline gold systems. First of all, I grew up here in the Colorado area, and we have a number of alkaline gold systems in this state, and then all up and down the eastern margin of the Rocky Mountains. There's quite a few alkaline systems. I actually cut my teeth, like when I was a kid, I used to go up and hunt the mine dumps up here above my house. And guess what? You know, I learned how to identify weird minerals, like this mineral called roscolite, which is a green mica that happens to be indicative of alkaline systems. Okay, so I went to Tivatu. Yes, it was listed as epithermal for many years. But when I first got there, you know, I laid sight on this core, and I could see roscolite. I could see all the bells and whistles, effectively, that said this is an alkaline system. Okay, alkaline systems are interesting because in a hot spring system, usually your gold zone is restricted to a certain level, like the boiling level within the hot spring. Okay, and it might go down, maybe, you know, it could go down a few hundred meters, like 300-400 meters. In an alkaline system, they're different. They can go way down in the ground because these things form when a magma body comes up from depth and it simply parks itself. This magma happens to have a lot of alkali metal in it. That's why they're called alkaline deposits. Anyway, this magma comes up, and usually underneath the volcano, okay, so it comes up, and then it starts to cool and crystallize. And as it does so, the metals that are incompatible, they can't fit in the crystals that are forming, they get flushed out. Mm-hmm. And what happens is they accumulate in the waters that are coming off the magma, and those get flushed up into the little fractures and stuff above. Okay, that's what produces these wonderful high grades. Now, here's the complication. These things are like a spider web. Okay, they just go, those fluids, they just find their way everywhere, you know, any nook and cranny, literally any nook and cranny. So you have to be very patient and methodical. But if you use the knowledge that this system should have a very deep profile because it is an alkaline system, you're halfway there. Okay, you have to buy into that model. We used a lot of techniques that are traditionally used for alkaline systems. Using CSAMT, we identified gradients. We tested the gradients. Guess what? We hit high grade. Okay, so the drill hole that you mentioned, yes, that very high grade intercept that was up higher, that's amazing. Like, you know, the 0.6 meter of 200 and some odd gram, and then there was a 400 gram within that. That is one of the upper loads. It's up in the resource area. But the hole was actually, it continued downward, and it tested in this area where we hit high grade last year, and we hit it again. Okay, we hit 2.3 meters of, I think it was just under 56 grams of gold. Very good result, very stout vein, very similar to what you see in a lot of alkaline systems. You get high grade root feeder structures. In poor grip, they have the Romani structure. Little tiny vein, these aren't big, but they have a lot of gold in them. Okay, and I think we're starting to see the evidence for that kind of a root structure. Gets better, though. We're also drilling along strike now. We're doing some deep holes up around Banana Creek and stuff, and we're going to start looking for more of these things. Okay, so these alkaline systems, again, you have to be patient, but usually when they latch on to these root structures, like the main feeders of fluid, you can follow these things, and the systems grow and grow and grow.
I see in the news release there was some, at least my understanding of it was, there may be some lateral maybe some feeder zones or something that might actually connect some of the other targets that you've identified on system, the other kind of similar targets that you are, I guess, will be drilling from surface, so Banana Creek being the one I think that's 3.5 or 2.5 kilometers away.
That's correct.
So is there some potential, and do you see the potential for one or more of these deposits to sort of hook up together and at depth, perhaps
really
rich stuff?
Usually you find that it's kind of like the branches of a tree, but it's planar features rather than, tubular features. But you see the system start to connect, and as it gets deeper and deeper, you find that root structure. Okay, I think we found it at Tuvati. I mean, basically, we're onto it. As we go northward, what we're doing there is, like, we know there's a lot of little veins at surface, a lot of anomalous gold, and even high-grade gold in places in veins at surface. We're going to drill some holes that undercut those veins, but we're also going to test the deep part. It's almost like we're cutting to the chase, okay? We know now the system, how it behaves. Let's go ahead and test the deeper part of it. And that's part of the goal up at Banana Creek, is to find what could be an extension or perhaps a second structure that's feeding the whole thing up there. And, that's 3.5 kilometers away. This is not, these aren't small. Like, this is a big system. We'll work our way back, towards Tuvati, but I think ultimately the two will link up. They're formed from the same fluids. There's no question.
Right. So, well, the drill program this year, you'll be doing some of that drilling yet in this drill season at Banana Creek and between Banana Creek and the existing deposit?
Yes. So we have three prongs of exploration. We got the deep program that's really greenfield, I'll call it, that's testing new targets all along the corridor. We've got the deep drilling underneath Tuvatu. We've already demonstrated the roots there. Okay, so we're getting to the point where we're very comfortable with what we found there. But we also have the infill drilling for the resource work that's being done, so in advance of mine development. Okay, so really the company's got three things going at once. Does have a lot of money in the bank, $58 million, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
And so they have the ability to both advance the mining side as well as the exploration side.
Mm-hmm. And we should be getting some drill results. I think the company maybe has its own lab facility.
Is that correct? It does. It has its own lab. It's a state-of-the-art fire assay lab in Nandi, which is 20 minutes from site. It's right next to the international airport. Fiji has been kind of locked down. They're very sensitive about pandemics and stuff.
Right.
So it's not like tourists are coming in right now, but it is a major international hub. The lab can turn around assays usually within about 3 or 4 days. So that's a very good outcome. It's means that we don't have the delays, for example, like other companies.
Right.
Now, the company is drilling right now. They anticipate drilling through the remainder of this year. And I think at this point, you can see over the past few months here, we've had a nice steady stream of news. We've had, I think, three news releases in the past 8 weeks on drill results. And I expect that to continue.
Good. Excellent. But it certainly is an exciting story. So I guess it's just watch drill results. I have an idea that a lot of people aren't really making the connection between a near-term production situation and one that has something much bigger potentially in the future. And in my mind, if you kind of see the really enormous or the very strong, robust economics with what they have, and then understand that there's a potential for something X number of times larger than that, then I think people would start to see the potential value in this play. I mean, the dollar share, $156 million market cap, it's certainly not overpriced in my view. But then that's my view, and I'm not unbiased. I own the shares. It's a recommendation in my newsletter and, of course, a sponsor of this show. But I want any parting comments?
Well, look, I think that actually is a very good point. If you look at the results that we have in our last news release and then look at the diagram that goes with, you can see the block model, and you can see that we're well below the block model.
Right.
Okay. One of the things about this deposit is if you look at the ounces it delivers every vertical meter, it's around 2,500 ounces per vertical meter. Okay. Well, I would expect that kind of ounce inventory to be delivered in the future. Okay, the fact that we've drilled this down, you know, a few hundred meters below the existing resource tells me there's a lot more gold to be found there. Okay, so immediately underneath Tuvatu, yes, this thing will grow. If we find gold up at Banana Creek and in between, this thing could be multiples of the current size. So, yes, it is an exploration story, but you also have the development going now. So we'll see a mine actually start around the existing resource.
And is there any target date for that? I know it's always difficult.
Again, I think once the company has all of their ducks in a row, you know, COVID is a complication, trying to get people in and out of sight. Yeah, the engineers are working remotely. You know, a lot of this, you know, we'll call it the conceptual work around the engineering stuff is being done off-site.
Sure.
And it's an interesting time, but they will get all of this work done. And I think that probably by September, I think they'll be in a position where they can start talking about the size and scope of this planned trial mine.
Yeah. I should add, I think it's important to note that the CEO and founder of this company, Wally Berkroff, has had a remarkable track record, a history in the past. I think there's at least three mining projects that he brought towards production, sold them off, and made his shareholders a ton of money. And the way I see this thing, it's possible this could be the biggest of all for Wally. I sure hope so.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I think so too.
It has that potential, I think, if, you know, the things we just talked about come to fruition. So it really is exciting. Thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us again and giving us this update. And we'll look to keep up with it in the future.